ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नारं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं उदीरयेत् नास्तप्रयेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भगवतः सेवया भगवद् उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. So today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, fifth chapter, text number 17. Tyaktva svadhamam charanam bhujam hare. Bhajana pakko tapate tato yadi. Yachakva va badam abut amushatkim. Kovata apto bhajatam svadhamata. Chatva svadhamam charanam bhujam hare. Bhajana pakko tapate tato yadi. Yachakva vavadam abud amushakim. Kovata apto bhajatam svadhamata. Tyatva svadhamam charanam bhujam hare. Bhajana pakto tapate tato yadi. Yachakva vavadram abu amushakim. Kovata apto pachatam svadhamata. Svadhamma charanam bhujam hare. Bhajana pakko tapate tato yadi. Yachakva vadvadam abhut amushati. Kovata apto bhajatam svadhammata. Sadamata. Tyaktva Swadharmam Charanam Bhujam Hare Bhajana Bhakto Tadate Dhanyahi Yachakva Vakajana Bhujahi Kovata Abdo Bhajatam Swadharmata Mataji's. Tyaktva, having forsaken Swadharmam, one's own occupational engagement, Chanana Ambujam, the lotus feet, Harehe, of Hari, the Lord, Bhajam, in the course of devotional service, Apak, Ba, immature, Ata, for the matter of, Patet, forced on, Tataha, from that place, Yadi, if, Yacha, whereupon, Qua, what sort of, Va, or used sarcastically, Abhajam, unfavorable. Abhut, shall happen. Amusha, of him. Kim, nothing. Kava Ata, what interest? Aptaha, obtained. Abhajatam, of the non-devotee. Swadharmataha, being engaged in occupational service. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. One who has forsaken his material occupations to engage in the devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage. Yet, there's no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duty, does not gain anything. Please repeat. One who has forsaken his material occupations to engage in the devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage. Yet there is no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. Purport. As far as the duty of mankind are concerned, there are innumerable duties. Every man is duty bound not only to his parents, family members, society, country, humanity, other living beings, the demigods, etc., but also to great philosophers, poets, scientists, etc. It is enjoined in the scriptures that one can relinquish all such duties and surrender unto the service of the Lord. So if one does so and becomes successful in the discharge of his devotional service unto the Lord, it is well and good. But it is so happens sometimes that one surrenders himself unto the service of the Lord by some temporary sentiment, and in the long run, due to so many other reasons, he falls down from the path of service by undesirable association. There are so many instances of this in the history. Bharat Maharaj was obliged to take his purse as a stag due to his intimate attachment to a stag. He thought of this stag when he died. As such, in the next birth, he became a stag, although he did not forget the incident of his previous birth. Similarly, Chichaketu also fell down due to his offenses at the feet of Shiva. But in spite of all this, the stress is given here to surrendering unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Even if there is a chance of falling down, because even though one falls down from the prescribed duties of devotional service, he will never forget the lotus feet of the Lord. Once engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, one will continue the service in all circumstances. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that even a small quantity of devotional service can save one from the most dangerous position. There are many instances of such examples in history. Ajamil is one of them. Ajamil, in his early life, was a devotee. But in his youth, he fell down. Still, he was saved by the Lord as at the end. Translation again. One who has forsaken his material occupations to engage in the devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage, yet there is no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. Om Agyana Timinandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksu Umilitan Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Abdali Smadhi Tamao Krishna Goswami Dinamine Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Abdali Smadhi Bhaktivedanta Swami Dinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachanine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Praschyatete Shatanine. So in the purport, actually there are many wonderful points in Prabhupada's purport. First of all, Srila Prabhupada, he was speaking that every man is duty bound not only to his parents, family members, society, country, humanity, other living beings, the demigods, etc., but also to the great philosophers, poets, scientists, etc. But all their duties can be covered by surrender under the service of Lord Krishna. Because Lord Krishna is the root of everything. Just like when we watering the root of a tree naturally, all the branches and leaves of the tree will be nourished. So Krishna is actually the root of everything. So although we have so many duties, but all those duties can be covered by just surrendering to Krishna, rendering devotional service to Krishna. And then Srila Prabhupada, he speaks about one who falls down from the path of spiritual life. Spiritual life is undoubtedly very difficult. There are lots of stumbling blocks, impediments on the way of spiritual life. Actually, to practice spiritual life is just like to start a war against the Maya. Yeah, just like during any worldly warfare, if a soldier, or even if you are a general, if you are not very careful, you will be killed or wounded. So similarly, while practicing devotional service, if we are not very careful, we may fall down too. Srila Prabhupada, he was saying that is because by undesirable association. Why we are falling down? Because our association is not very good. So this reminds me that in China, we have a saying that 近朱者赤，近墨者黑. That means when you all the time associate with red people, ultimately you will become red people too. And if all the time you are associated with black people, you will become black people too. So we are, you know, what we are associated with. So similarly, if all the time we can associate with great sentient persons, and naturally you will become advanced in your spiritual life too. You will become spiritually advanced too. I have really very a strong feeling about this point. After coming to New Dwarka Dham, I got chance to associate with all of your senior devotees, and I'm feeling it's much more easy to maintain my Krishna consciousness. Yeah, it's really wonderful communities here. And then Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, he gave three examples in the history who forced them. You know, the first example he gave in the purport is Bharat Maharaj. Actually, the story of Bharat Maharaj is vividly described in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Here I want to share it with all of you. So Bharat Maharaj performed various ritualistic ceremonies, Vedic yagyas, and satisfied the Supreme Lord by his different modes of worship. In due course of time, he left home and resided in Hardwar and passed his day in devotional activities. Being ordered by his father, who knows Bharat Maharaj's father? Anyone knows? Rishabhade. Yes, yes. So, being ordered by his father, Lord Rishabhade, Bharat Maharaj married Panchajani, the daughter of Vishwarupa. After this, he ruled the whole world peacefully. Formerly, this planet was known as Ajanava. And after the reign of Bharat Maharaj, it became known as Bharatvarsha. Bharat Maharaj begot five sons in the womb of Panchajani. And he named the son, Sumati, Rastaprita, Sudashyam, Avaram, and Dumaketu. Bharat Maharaj was very rigid in executing religious principles, and following in the footsteps of his father, he therefore ruled the citizens very successfully. An ideal king, like Lord Ram, because he has performed various yagyas to satisfy the Supreme Lord, he was personally very satisfied. Being of undisturbed mind, he increased his devotional activities unto Lord Vasudev. Bharat Maharaj was competent in understanding the principles of sainted persons like Narada, and he followed in the footsteps of the sages. He also kept Lord Vasudev constantly within his heart. After finishing his kingly duty, he divided his kingdom among his five sons. He then left home and went to the place of Puraha, known as Purahashram. There, he ate forest vegetables and fruits. Very austere, yeah. No cooking, yeah. Only forest vegetables and fruits, and worship Lord Vasudev with everything available. Thus, he increased his devotion toward Vasudev, and he automatically began to realize further his transcendental blissful life. Due to his highly advanced spiritual position, there were sometimes visible in his body the sattvika transformation, such as ecstatic crying and bodily trembling, which are symptoms of love of Godhead. It is understood that Maharaj Bharat worshipped the Supreme Lord with the mantra mentioned in the Rig Veda, generally known as Gayatri Mantra, which aim at the supreme Narayan situated within the sun. So one may ask, Bharat Maharaj is already almost a pure devotee of the Lord. How he can fall down from this exalted position? And in the following chapter, Srila Prabhupada described the reason why Bharat Maharaj falls down from his exalted position. Prabhupada said, one day after Bharat Maharaj had taken his bath as usual in the river Gandaki and was chanting his mantra, he saw a pregnant deer come to the river to drink water. Suddenly, there could be heard the thundering roar of a lion, and the deer was so frightened that it immediately gave birth to his calf. It then crossed the river, but died immediately thereafter. Maharaj Bharat took compassion upon the motherless calf, rescued it from the water, took it to his ashram, and cared for it affectionately. He gradually became attached to this young deer and always thought of it affectionately. As it grew up, it became Maharaj Bharata's constant companion, and he always took care of it. Gradually, he became so absorbed to thinking of this deer that his mind became agitated. As he became more attached to the deer, his devotional service slackened. Although he was able to give up his opulent kingdom, but he became attached to the deer. Thus he fell down from his mystic yoga practice. Once, when the deer was absent, Maharaj Bharat was so disturbed that he began to search for it. While searching and lamenting the deer's absence, Maharaj Bharat fell down and died. Because his mind was fully absorbed thinking of the deer, he naturally took his next birth from the womb of a deer. So this reminds me, the Bhagavad Gita, there's a saying, Yang yang vapi smanam bhavam, chachanti ante karevanam, tam tam evaiti konteya sadada bhava bhavita. That whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. So that means the consciousness at the time of a death will determine our next birth. So here Bharat Maharaj is one of the examples. Because Bharat Maharaj, he was absorbed thinking of the deer. So naturally he took his next birth from the womb of a deer. However, because he was considerably advanced spiritually, he did not forget his past activities. It is really amazing that even Bharat Maharaj in the deer body, he can remember his previous life, that he was actually a great king, a devotee of Krishna. So he could understand how he had fallen down. From his exalted position. And remembering this, he left his mother deer and again went to Puraha Ashram. He finally ended his fructive activities in the form of a deer. And when he died, he was released from the deer's body. I mean, understand that next life, he took birth and he got another human form of life as Jade Bharat. And after this life, he went back to Godhead. So we can understand that devotional service is actually not so easy. It's very difficult. Like Krishna, he was saying that Devi Hesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Tulatyaya Mam Evaya Prabhatyante Maya Evan Tarantite. This material energy actually is coming from Krishna. It's also divine. So nobody, on our own strength, no one can conquer it. Therefore, we need the mercy of Guru and Krishna and all the Vaishnavas. So therefore, association of great devotees is the most important thing. And Srila Prabhupada, he wrote in the purport of the Bhagavad Gita, saying that because we have fallen down to this material world since time immemorial, we have so many material contamination. So it is understandable that sometimes, you know, the devotee is forced on. But if the devotee, he didn't give up the chanting of Hare Krishna, Prabhupada said, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, the chanting of this mantra should be continued without stoppage. This will protect a devotee from all accidental falldowns. He will thus remain perpetually free from all material contamination. So that's all I want to say. Are there any questions and comments? Yes, Maharaj.
Thank you for a very wonderful class. Very clear, explained nicely, good illustrations, and plenty of Prabhupada purport. Can't go wrong. What I just want to add, as you mentioned a few times, how important association with devotees is. So we find that when Bharat Maharaj, unfortunately, fell down and then in his next life became a deer, he didn't associate with the deers. He associated with the holy men.
You
said, he went back to Pula Ashram,
where
there were holy men, and they would have regular discourses on the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Right.
So therefore, he continued to keep his mind absorbed and saturated with those thoughts.
Right.
And when he passed or he left his body, those were the last thoughts. And as you mentioned, where did he become born? In a Brahmin family. And with a father who doted on him and treated him so affectionately and warmly, although Bharat Maharaj didn't care for that, didn't want that. In fact, he wanted to be detached from everyone and everything. Nonetheless, having a loving, kind, sweet father is very instrumental, very helpful in getting one moving towards spiritual activities, which he did do, but different than his father, which was interested in rituals and rites and ceremonies and things like that.
Right. Thank you very much, Maharaj. That's a wonderful point. Any other questions? Oh, yes, Sachinanda Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. Would you speak a little bit about association of devotees? You made a very nice point how that is our... You didn't use the word, but that's like our rock. That's our, keeps us from falling down. So we associate with each other. I wonder if you can give maybe some guidelines, some ways, some direction how to associate with the Vaishnavas.
Actually, in the Bhagavatam, it is mentioned in that Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavatam Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki, that by constantly attending the classes of the Bhagavatam and by rendering service to the great Vaishnavas, all that which is troublesome is in our heart, we are almost clear the way. And then our dormant love for Krishna will naturally be revived. Actually, in this verse, Srila Prabhupada, he was giving the example of Narada Muni. So why Narada Muni? We know Narada Muni, he's a super spaceman. He can travel to anywhere. This world, he can even go to the spiritual world, preaching Krishna consciousness. So why Narada Muni is so exalted position like this? Because in his previous life, he was able to help his mother serving great Vedantists, the great Vaishnavas. And by their mercy, he got the opportunity to get the reverence of the great Vedantists. And then he immediately become Krishna conscious. Yeah. So that means, we have to render service to great Vaishnava. And just like the Bhagavad Gita, there's a verse saying, tat vidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti tegyana gyani nastatva dashna. Just approach a spiritual master, render service to him, and inquisitive submissively. So those two things has to be there. When we are dealing with the devotees, especially advanced devotees, we have to inquisitive very submissively and render service unto him. And then the spiritual realized soul can impart spiritual knowledge unto us. Is that okay?
Yes, I was also thinking, Prabhu, about that verse in Nectar of Instruction.
Uh-huh.
Offering prasad, accepting charitable gifts, giving gifts, revealing the mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially. That was just another verse that came to mind as you were speaking.
That's a nice verse. Thank you, Prabhu.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, Satchinaraya Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. Since we are talking about the importance of association and the fall down, you mentioned of Jad Bharat, and you also quote the verse from Bhagavad Gita, Jam Jamba Pismaram Bhavan. What advice would you give to devotees who they have affection for animals and they are, you know, maybe trying to save them or help them? Can you give an advice of the risk of?
It would be nice that this devotee can slowly, slowly try to turn his affection to the animals, to the devotees, and to Lord, you know, to some, you know, service to the Lord, you see. Achita Prabhu, please.
The answer was given in the story that you read about Jad Bharat. Don't let it affect your devotional service. That was his mistake. He became so attached to the deer that his devotional service slackened.
Mm-hmm.
Prabhupada used that word. So you have to catch yourself. If you see that your attention and affection for animals is causing your devotional service to slacken, then stop. That's the key. Yes, we should be generally affectionate to all living entities. Prabhupada was concerned even about a bug who wasn't moving in his room. But he did not let it affect his service. He didn't stop translating so that he could take the bug to the hospital. And, you know, he didn't do that. So you don't let your affection for animals and even human beings affect your devotional service. That's the dividing line.
Yes, Maharaj.
So this is a very interesting point, that there are devotees right in this community who have little doggies and cats.
Right.
And they treat them very affectionately, very warmly, very lovingly. And of course, yes, they have in one sense fallen into the same rut as Bharat Maharaj. However, we have to first of all avoid feeling very proud and thinking that we're superior to them. That look at them, they're just stealing loving dogs. What kind of devotional service is that? This is a very proud, superior, smug mentality, and it does not conduce to higher, loving devotional service. Second of all, we also have to be a little understanding. Some devotees are still leaning on false crutches, as we might say, to support them, to help them. They find it difficult. Let's say they've had children. Children have grown up. And in the course of children growing up, there's been affection and warmth and love. Now the kids are gone. So there's a big gap. There's an emptiness. So they're looking for some way to fill this gap. And it sometimes takes a while. Not that I'm praising it or accepting it, but it does take a while. And we have to be a little understanding to those persons who are gradually growing from this position of emptiness and helplessness to the position of fullness and strength. In other words, strength is like going to a gym. If you want to, for example, lift 100 pounds over your head, you can't do it immediately. You start out with, you know, maybe 30 or 40 pounds, and 50, 60. Finally, you know, after a year or two, you may be able to lift that barbell over your head. So it took a little bit of time. So we need to be a little compassionate, a little understanding, rather than contemptuous, rather than proud, rather than aloof, and thinking and taking a false sense of superiority, which is the worst thing that a devotee can have. Thinking, I'm better, I'm bigger, I'm greater, I'm grander. Look at him. He's simply making love to a dog, you see. Now, our position should be, Krishna, please help him, enable him, guide him or her to slowly but surely develop more love for you and less love for the dog.
Right.
And that is a good position because basically we're looking for something higher and better in him rather than trying to feel higher and better than him. So one is positive, one is a negative. So we have to be very careful and guard against this aloofness and false pride.
Thank you very much. That's a good point, Maharaj. It reminds me of the prayers by Queen Kunti. Because Queen Kunti, he perfectly understands to go back to Krishna is not an easy job. Ultimately, we have to cut all the material affections. See, Queen Kunti, he was praying to Lord Krishna saying, O Lord of the universe, soul of the universe, O personality of the form of the universe, please therefore sever my tie of affection for my kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Rishnis. So ultimately we have to cut all these material affections. Just focus our attention onto the lotus feet of Krishna. Okay? Jai Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Bhaktavinda Ki Jai. Hari Bhur.